Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cyber Attack Defenders podcast series. As part of the Swish Data Cyber Attack Defenders campaign, we're interviewing a number of partners who are supporting this new marketing effort. And today we're speaking with Saul Cates, who's the Chief Security Officer at Vormetric. And Saul, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And let's just jump right in, and we're going to start from a high level. Now, tell us about Vormetric's offering for the federal government.
Absolutely. So Vormetric's been around since about 2001. We're a data security company. We actually cut our teeth early on in the intelligence community. We learned a couple quick lessons around how to help large enterprises and agencies to protect sensitive information. And what we started out with was as an encryption technology. We wanted to help agencies to actually protect their information inside their data center. But what we learned very quickly was the encryption was the easy part. It was everything that went around it. So what we helped design for our larger enterprises, and we have about 1,300 worldwide nowadays, is to not only encrypt information, but to control who should see this information under what conditions, including privileged users or insiders. So administrators, need to know only. We really invoked least privilege in a operating system. So only approved usage of information is allowed for users, processes, what have you, and remove the privileged user from the equation. That was one of the key requirements we got early on to actually help them, not only protect the information, but also leverage other models of administration. Less cleared folks for higher sensitive environments, actually being able to bring in different types of information, whether it be PL2 to a PL3 type environment, and really segment that information by using a technology like encryption.
That's great. Since you all have been around for such a long time, since 2001, I'm sure you've seen the trends change in the cybersecurity arena, especially when it comes to the federal sector. What's happening right now, in terms of cyber trends, in terms of the federal government? What are you seeing happening?
Yeah, there's a couple different trends. I mean, one of the ones that comes to mind right away is there's definitely more of a focus on the data itself, right? So I think for a long time we've really looked at indicators and threats and different vectors coming at our networks. But I think that, with the data classification that's happened over, let's face it, federal has been very good about data classification, but actually enforcing that into systems that we actually utilize, databases, applications, OSs, and so forth, was sort of the hard part. So I think there's definitely more of a trend of looking down at the data. Where do I store it? Who has access to it? And what can I do to protect it to make sure that I'm, doing my due diligence from a cybersecurity perspective? Because at the end of the day, that's the target. It's the days of, causing havoc on the network and, the smash and grab or the drive-by to your network are sort of diminishing. Really, there's more and more focus on actually acquiring assets, whether that be data systems and so forth. And that's where the target is, and that's where a lot of the defenses are starting to go in because there's a mind shift change to actually focus on the information itself that is, of value to the adversary. I think also a lot of collaboration is definitely another key trend that I'm seeing. More and more folks, either from agency to agency or even public sector to private sector, there's more collaboration or there's openness for collaboration when we start talking about these threats and the trends that are taking place. I know the term ATP, advanced just the persistent threat, APT, is definitely starting to boil up, but I think that's sort of the norm nowadays for folks. They understand that the adversary wants to get into their environment. I think they're starting to shift more towards the perimeter is starting to become more crumbled. Can I actually focus on the assets themselves that I'm around and put better lenses around that information?
Wow, that's really interesting. It feeds perfectly into our next question because you're talking about they're focusing more on the data itself and as opposed to doing kind of the drive-by break-ins, if you will. So in terms of the threats, where are they emerging from these days? Who are our adversaries and the like?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on who you talk to and where you're seeing the trends from. For the most part, nation states are definitely becoming more of a player, for sure. They have a lot more assets at their disposal and resources at their disposal to actually, cause impart on a cyber war for, initiative. Definitely nation states are increasing. Hacktivist groups are, still there. They're not as prevalent as they were, let's say a year ago. It's not as loud. But that could be because they're doing something else. I think that the one challenge that we all see in the information security arena is the adversaries are constantly shifting. It could be nation states today, it could be activists tomorrow, it could be some new entity, you know, a year or two from now. But I think what's interesting is while their motives might be different, you know, from a political standpoint or, you know, activism standpoint, the methods they use are almost identical, right? It's nothing that's rocket science. You know, it's they're going to leverage, you know, access to information through whatever means they can, whether that's social engineering, you know, phishing techniques, finding escalation capabilities, finding ways to, you know, actually compromise your environment or your user's credentials, you know, backdoors and so forth. There are not a lot of new techniques from that perspective, but they're constantly shifting. So I think, you know, the actors will always change. I think the methods they use are pretty well understood, and there could be more methods that emerge over time, but they're easy to identify. And I think one of the things that we've seen, you know, from a trend perspective along that shift towards the data is folks are actually starting to try to solve a fundamental problem that we've all had for 30-plus years, which is the concept of privileged data. Every single one of these, you know, incidents that take place, whether it's a data breach, whether it's a, you know, somebody whistleblowing, what have you, it's not because they found some magic way to actually compromise systems. They're leveraging something called privilege. You know, it's going to be system-level access, database-level access through a privileged process or application or user account. What I think, you know, we're starting to see a shift on is people are trying to do a better job of regulating that, but also taking away that access to information. No longer should my sysadmin see the data that I don't want them to. So I think as the actors change, it's always going to be there. But I think the fundamental flaw that we all have to wrestle with is can we actually remove privileged access to information? Because that's the key technique that malware and adversaries leverage to actually gain access to information. You can't steal what you don't have privilege to.
Right, right. That's an interesting concept. And since we know the methods and have an understanding of it, like you just discussed, is it possible to stay one step ahead of the bad guys now? I know that's always been a challenge in the cybersecurity arena, especially for government.
Yeah, it is. It is always a challenge, right, to be one step ahead. You know, Bob Bigman, the CISO of the CIA, he told me many years ago, he's like, you know, one of the things is, you know, you have to help me with is can you actually protect me from myself, right? You got to look at it from that lens because what's, you know, the adversaries are always going to try to become you, right? They're going to mimic you through malware or compromising your credentials or your administrator's credentials or abusing an application that has appropriate usage for the system. They're going to find ways to actually mimic you. So are you doing a good enough job of actually defending yourself from yourself? Do you have appropriate control over your privilege access to information? Make sure you're monitoring your systems appropriately to find out not only who's changing or are things changing in this environment, but what's happening to my information, what the actual data itself, who's interacting with it, under what conditions. So I think there's a definitely, you know, there are ways to do it. Just put a better lens on the information, which is the target. You know, sandboxing and those types of techniques are very, you know, beneficial, but they don't really help you protect the information. You know, if you look at your, you know, malware detection technologies and so forth, they're very good at identifying that, oh, I have a problem, but they're not doing a very good job of actually protecting the information itself. If we look at all the perimeter defenses that we've all invested in over the last, you know, 30 plus years, they're all focused on the perimeter. You know, am I keeping people away from my systems, you know, the adversaries away from my network and systems? None of those were ever designed to actually protect the data itself. And that's where things like encryption and better access controls and separation of duties, those techniques and technologies do exist. And there are simple ways to actually implement them. And that's where people can actually get ahead of this, ahead of the game a little bit, is to protect themselves a little bit more from themselves, because that's what gets abused. You know, either somebody internally going rogue or somebody externally actually compromising that either privilege, process, or user account.
So how does BoreMetric then fit into this larger security environment? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so again, we've been around for a while. You know, so we've been doing this about 13 years now. You know, we are a data encryption company, but what we did is we really simplified it for folks. We found out very quickly that to be successful for any large enterprise, you had to follow really four tenets. I had to be efficient. I had to be simple. I had to be able to get up and running very quickly. I had to actually bring that strength that's needed, separation of duties, take care of key management for folks, you know, really, you know, put the control around the information, but still make it flexible enough to meet the business needs. You know, but it also had to be transparent. right? So one of the things that's really hard for any information security practitioner, whether you're in federal, commercial, what have you, is to change the way either the business or the mission runs. I can't go to, I can't spend a dollar to save 10 cents, right, to actually protect 10 cents worth of data. So really find a way to be transparent without having to disrupt the way that the businesses are run, the applications are run, the mission is run. You got to find a way to actually slide in very quickly. So that's what we designed. It's really a transparent encryption capability that allows us to protect almost any kind of data, whether it's a database from Oracle to DB2 to very large big data repositories. That's where we really cut our teeth, is in the structured and unstructured environment, and then really allow for appropriate uses of information. Only approved users and processes should ever see this information in the clear. Everybody else should be denied access. It's really like a firewall for your data that says, under the right appropriate usage of information, you will see it in the clear, and we can audit you when you do so. But a system administrator or storage admin or some third-party contractor that you have working on your systems, they don't need to see the data as part of their job. So that's really what we've helped play out is, from an integration standpoint, we play with all the major operating systems, and we really don't care what kind of database, what kind of storage, what kind of applications you use. It's all managed through policy. You're really mapping up appropriate usage through policy. And the other thing that's nice is we've really partnered over the last couple of years with cloud service providers. They've been a big focus for us because their customers are demanding better security of their data, but also the customers want to control access to the data. So I might be using somebody else's infrastructure, like an Amazon or a Rackspace, or I might have a contractor that I'm a systems integrator that I'm leveraging. I want to control who has access to my data. So as an entity, as an organization, I can still keep the keys, control the policy, but leverage somebody else's infrastructure for much cheaper than hosting it myself. And so that's one thing that's nice, is our technology has been built to be very transparent, but scalable and extendable.
That's great. And that's a perfect segue into our last question here, which is more on the side of technical integrations and corporate partnerships that you have that benefit customers looking to your company, to plug into their environment. It sounds like cloud service providers are ideal. Any others to showcase?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we've got strong partnerships with companies like Intel, where we've, really partnered with them for better encryption. We are an encryption company, and we really partner with them to help them and help us really remove the stigma that encryption has got to be a penalty. We've found a way to actually make it very efficient to the point where, for the most part, the cost of encryption is starting to approach zero because we can harness hardware. So we've really partnered with companies like Intel, but also companies like SAP. I mean, we are certified on their HANA platform as a, one of their select vendors for encryption. You go to Google, the Google Cloud Compute, we're the first and only security company on their vendor list. Amazon is featuring us right now as one of their top six security vendors. So from a cloud perspective, but also technology partners perspective, we have a lot of partners out there. Even IBM OEMs our technology. You probably heard it as Guardium Data Encryption. That's Vormetric. Symantec does the same thing with some of their net backup solutions. So we have a very large portfolio of partners that we work with, both technology, service providers, but also the systems integrators is another key strength for us. A lot of them are bringing us to market as part of their go-to-market for their customers. They're seeing more and more requirements for data protection, data encryption, and data security. This is really goes right into their portfolio to help them help their customers. And one of the things that's sort of unique is while the integrator or the partner might actually help build the infrastructure, the organization can still control the access of the information. They are the owners of the keys and the data nowadays.
That's excellent. Saul, this has been a very enlightening podcast, and I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we didn't cover today?
No, I think, one thing just to highlight is, Vormetric's been around for a while. I mean, I think the one thing that I like to talk about a lot is, we've tried to solve this problem of ring zero. If you remember back from your computer science 101 days, there's these different protection circles around information, everything from the kernel to your drivers to user space, all those different layers within it. One of the things that we set out to do is actually solve the ring zero problem. Should the privileged access of a kernel or a administrator or a system level process, should they see data? And that's what really helps to alleviate, because that's where majority of the impact comes from. A malware, administrators going rogue, what have you, they all leverage that same level of privilege. And that's one thing that we solved about 13 years ago, is when we set out to solve this problem, is we said, you know, no longer should the privilege of the system see the information. Only appropriate usage through policy should ever see the information.
That's great. And, you know, what a perfect way to end this podcast. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Cyber Attack Defenders interview with Saul Cates, who's the Chief Security Officer at Vormetric, who was kind enough to share some insights on government cybersecurity trends and much more today. And, Saul, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.